you have your Bibles, let's turn to Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 3. It's a word that the Lord laid on my heart last week, and I feel like I need to preach it to you today. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 3. So good all of you are here today in the presence of the Lord. Just believing that God wants to do something special in the next few moments. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 3, it says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." He said, every place that your foot is going to step, you can go ahead and count it over into a blessing to you. You can go ahead and mark it off as a victory for you. Every place the sole of your foot would tread, I've given that land to you. What dominion to walk into when you know you have that favor and blessing of God, that anywhere I go, grocery store, my house, this church, anywhere I go, I'm favored, I'm blessed. And he said, anywhere I put my foot, that's our land. That's promised to us. Flip over to chapter number 4, verse number 19. It says, "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." I'm going to preach this message today from monument to movement. From monument to movement. One more time, I need the Lord to lead me to what to say today. So one more time, if you could lay down your Bibles or your iPads or phones, and you could just make a connection with me right now that we want God to have his way in the next few moments. Jesus, God, we bind together right now, one place, and we are in one accord right now, in unity of mind. And we want you to come and have your way in the next few moments of this service. God, we pray that you'd move in such a mighty way that it cannot be denied or negotiated, that your power was here and it wiped away every doubt and fear. Jesus, we pray right now, let us have an encounter with you in the next few moments like only you could do, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. From monument to movement. I've had very many monumental moments living for the Lord. I remember one time, I was about 15 years old. And it was on a midweek service, and who knew that God could move on a midweek service? It was on a midweek service. It was after the song was done and the preaching had gone forth, and I had found my way to the very front of the altar. And our sanctuary back home, the altar is laid out where the top portion of it extends out a couple of inches, and there's like a little cubby hole you can find your way underneath. And I found my way underneath the altar. I was there for so long that I began to travail in the Holy Ghost, went into a spirit of intercession. And I was there for so long that when I got up from where I was, there was nobody else in the sanctuary. I had prayed for so long that I didn't even have a voice. It had gone. That to me was a monumental moment that I can look back on and say, God met me in that place. And no matter what comes my way, I'll remember that moment like it was yesterday. I remember another monumental moment. It was at a youth congress. some chance, some divine work, I was able to get down to the floor seats of Youth Congress. And it was after the preaching, and I remember bending over the chair and just tears began to flow, and I was so sweaty, and I was beat red, and I just remember being there for so long, hunched over, my back began to hurt, and yet again, I lost my voice, and my sister took a picture, and she sent it to me, and man, I was really getting after it in prayer, and that to me was a monumental moment. If I was to go around this room, and I was to take a survey of how many people in here have had a monumental moment with the Lord, it would probably be everybody in this room. We've all had some moments where we've had a personal encounter with God, and He just showed up and invaded your schedule, and you found yourself not checking your clock and not figuring out what was the next thing to do, and you just found yourself in the glory of God, and you didn't want to move. You didn't care what your friends were doing or what was next in the service agenda, but you found yourself lost in the presence of God. If I was to go around and go to you individually, there would be so many accounts that you could say, I met God at that place, at that day, in that area. I met God there, and it changed my life. We all have monumental moments. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. We serve a God who is a moving God. He's on a mission. He has an objective. He's up to something, and he's up to something that you can't even begin to comprehend. His ways are higher than your ways, and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I'm here to tell you, God's up to something on a Sunday morning, and maybe you don't quite feel it, and maybe you don't quite see it, but I'm here to reassure you, God is up to something. He wants to move in this house. He wants to touch every single life. He wants to shake you and stir you and compel you to get from you are to where you ought to be. God is a moving God. He's up to something. And if we serve a God who is moving, then that lets me know we need to be a people that know how to move. We can't just be stagnant, stoic, and still. We got to be a people that when the Spirit begins to move, we have to link up and we have to move with the Spirit. And we have to get a hold of heaven and say, God, I don't know what you came to do, but whatever you're doing, don't leave me out of it. I don't want to sit by and miss a move of God. I don't want to sit back and casually just go throughout the schedule of a service. But I want God to move in the experience. Church on a Sunday morning. Says in Acts chapter 2 that there was a day that they were all in one place and one accord, and suddenly the Spirit of God moved like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting in, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them. That lets me know that the Spirit of God cannot be contained. It cannot be restricted. It wants to fill the whole house and fill every individual's life. If you'll allow it, man, I got three amens there. Man, I thought I was in a Pentecostal church on a Sunday morning. If we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, then we believe God can show up and move in the midst of our service. And we'll just sit back and say, God, do what you want to do in me. I'm letting go of my plans and my ideas and my thoughts and my ways. And I'm letting go of everything. I want God to move. Now, I know I heard from the Lord because you're confirming the word that I heard. We have a tendency in Pentecost that we can monumentalize a moment and we camp there. all those moments that you've had with God, all those monumental moments, you create a little camp there. And you camp out at that one singular moment, and you miss what God wants to do next. Now, I don't know about you, but I am convinced here this morning that it's going to take all of eternity just to get a glimpse of the majesty and the wonder and the glory of God. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared. So this morning, I believe God's taking us on a journey. He wants to help us to go deeper. He wants to help us to go higher. God wants to take this church somewhere that we've never been before. I'm here to challenge somebody's mentality. It's time for you to go from a monument moment into a movement where you say, God, I'm not going to camp here, but I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'm letting go of my past, and I'm walking into a dimension of glory and power that I've never seen before. Now, here today, I'm struggling because when you make up your mind about something, it's so hard to convince you otherwise. When somebody makes up their mind, it would take all of heaven and hell to pull them out of that mindset. And I feel like I'm going to play tug of war with somebody's mind today, and hopefully I'm victorious. I've simply come from a word from heaven that we not be a church where we just camp out at what God's done, but we need to look ahead and say, what is God about to do in the next moment? Where is God about to move? What miraculous work is God going to wrought? What's going to happen in the Springfield area? I'm looking up. I'm expecting. I'm awaiting a move of God. I'm not going to camp here. I'm not going to camp out. What's God going to do in this city? What's God going to do in my family? What's God going to do in my life? Somebody ought to just praise Him with expectation and say, God, I'm ready for a move of Your Spirit. Somebody needs to rebirth some expectation and some anticipation. Some of you not need to come to church and say, well, it's just junior pastor up there today, an assistant pastor, and man, he might have one single point, but I believe we can ride to glory on that one point today. I believe God wants to do something miraculous in this house. In this story, to come down to the text today, we find where Joshua, he's been given the authority to be the captain of Israel and to move the children of Israel forward. And that's what the children of God need to be doing. We need to be moving forward. Don't camp out in your past. And there, he has this encounter with God, and God speaks to him and says, you need to take the priest, and they need to bear up the ark on their shoulders, and they're going to walk out to the Jordan River. And when they go out into the Jordan River, the waters are going to begin to part, and the children of Israel will be able to pass over on the other side. And lo and behold, God is a God of His Word. The priests go out to the Jordan River, bearing up the ark of the covenant. They walk out to the Jordan River, and all of a sudden, the waters begin to part. What a miraculous moment that would have been to witness the parting of the Jordan River. They witnessed the glory of God on full display, and it parted. And all of the Israelites passed over the Jordan River on dry ground. Now, there was just water there, but now there's dry ground. What a greater dimension to experience God. They walked across the river on dry ground. They go to the other side of the river, and God tells them, you need to make a monument about this moment. You need to take 12 stones and build them up. And for the purpose of this monument, it's not for you to camp out. It's not for you to monumentalize this moment and camp there for all of eternity.
But the reason for this monument is for the children that are coming behind you will look at this monument and they will say to themselves, how mighty is the Lord? How powerful is His hand? We ought to fear the Lord. Look what the Lord has wrought in this moment. Can I just tell the experienced church, we can't camp out where God has brought us from. We can't camp out at all the past services that we've encountered. That's not the intention that God has for the church. The reason why we monumentalize those moments, it's for those that are coming behind us, that we could show them, let me tell you what Jesus did. I was there when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was there when the chains fell off my hands. I was there when we had an all-night prayer meeting. I was there when the Spirit of God was so real and tangible, we couldn't even stand. I was there in that moment. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what the Lord has done. And again, if I was to go around this room, we could write chapter after chapter, book after book, series after series of each and every one of your lives of the great things that God has done. Man, if I just took Brother Forgy and said, just tell me all that God has done, we would be here probably all week to begin to note all the miraculous things that God has done in his life. We each and every one of us are a testament to the power and glory of God. Each and every one of us have a story to tell. Let me tell you, we ought to tell what the Lord has done for us. We can't be quiet and shy about it. We've got to lift our voice and tell about the goodness of God in the land of the living. We have to tell about His mercy that's been new every morning. We have to tell about His grace that has caught me time and time again. And he said, you can build this monument, and after you build this monument, I'm going to prepare you to go to the next level. Does anybody want to go to the next level here today? God said, I'm going to take you to the next level, but there's a little bit of a transition here. There's three things that you have to do. Number one is found in Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 2. Said, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. He said, number one, you have to do something very painful, something agonizing, something that's going to hurt a little bit. He said, you have to circumcise. Now, for some of us that may be more carnally minded in the house, we could look at that and say, man, that doesn't apply to me. But if you look at it this way, that circumcision is simply consecration. He said, you're going to have to do something where you physically cut something off to move to the next level. Now, can I just tell you, it's all fine and dandy to go from monument to movement, but there's something that you have to let go of. We just can't walk into the deeper dimensions and go to the higher heights. God said, in order for me to take you to the next level, you have to cut some things off. You said, you're going to have to do something that's painful. Maybe you shouldn't watch that show that you've been binge-watching for the last week. And maybe you shouldn't entertain that relationship that you just can't stop texting and calling. Maybe you got to let go of some things in order to go to the next level. Man, I got four people with me today. I know it's going to hurt. I know it's painful. It's going to be agonizing. But if we want to be a church that goes to revival, we have to cut some things off. We have to cut off our flesh. We have to cut off our desires. We have to let go of some lust and some flesh. I'm going to cut it off because I want God to move. Satayalabaye.
What I feel here at the Experience Church is, man, we could coast with us few and no more, and we could walk into whatever God wants to do, and hopefully we have revival. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But what I feel from heaven today for somebody and all of us collectively really is God wants to take us into revival. Got a couple Baptist nods and a couple amens, but man, I believe that the church ought to be the busiest place in town. There ought to be people that have this place filled with souls sitting on the pews. There ought to be a demonstration of the glory of God that you walk away and say, did God really do that? You're telling me God showed up? I never saw that before. I've never witnessed that before. God blew my mind today. He showed up like I never saw before. Come on, you ought to take the limitations off the Lord. Let go of your restrictions. You're holding God down like he's a puppet. Let God go and see what he does. Let God loose at the Experience Church. Let God walk these aisles. Let him walk these pews. Let him show up in your family. What I feel like we've done to the Lord is that we put strings on God and we say, Lord, you could move right at the altar service. That's your designated moment. Don't disrupt Brother Sean and on that second song. Don't do that. You can move when Pastor says, all right, if you want a move of God, come to the front. The altars are open. And we've put a restriction on the hands of God, and we've tied him to a place. We've tied him to a moment. And if there was just a people here today that just let God loose. If you just take the chains off God, if you just take the doubt off God, if you just take the fear off God, if you just take your preconceived ideas and throw them away, watch what God will do. What we've done is we've tied down God to a moment. We've tied him to a monument. We said, well, the greatest day of the Experience Church, man, I could date it. It was about 4 years ago, 37 days, and well, it's at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. That one prayer service I remember on a Sunday, it was, man, the glory of God was so real. What we'll say is, man, Pastor preached his greatest message. Man, what was it, year seven? Man, that one sermon. 7 years ago, I could tell you. I was sitting on the back row. I had some expectation. I came up there with my coffee, and I just believed God for something. And I remember that was the best sermon Pastor will ever preach. Man, I remember that one prayer meeting on that Saturday night, Brother Luke. Man, Pastor couldn't even get up and dismiss us because people were praying in the Holy Ghost so loud. I remember that moment, but I don't think God could do it again. We've camped out at a moment. We've been mesmerized by a monument, and we've camped out at a place where God said, just to commemorate. Just look back at it, but you're going somewhere else. Just set it up for a future generation that you could tell about what he's done. But don't camp there. What I believe to tell the experienced church is we have yet to see the most powerful church service that this church has ever seen. We have yet to experience the most powerful worship sets that we've ever seen, Brother Sean. We have yet to see the most powerful prayer meetings that this church has ever seen. We have yet to see the most addicted person stumble in here, find their way to an altar and watch God liberate them. We have yet to see the power of God on display. We have yet to see it. Why don't you lift your hands and say, God, I'm ready to see it. I'm going to move forward. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but take me to the next level. Take me deeper, God. Take me deeper in consecration. Alabasata yalabaye, yalabasata yalabaye, yalabasata yalabaye, yalabasata ye. Come on, some of you ought to make up your mind. No matter what the enemy throws at me, I'm going to the next level. No matter what takes place in my family, I'm going to consecrate like I've never consecrated. I'm going to devote my life to Jesus Christ.
If I can, let me just make this very practical with you. My wife had this idea that she was going to fast social media. And I thought to myself, man, that sounds like a good idea. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. And, I fasted it. And let me just tell you that I had some withdrawals. There were some moments I grabbed my phone and I was like, what am I going to do with this phone? Man, I usually go to Facebook or Instagram. Man, what do I do with this thing now? What do I do with my time? Man, I have so much time to just stand there and look at my phone and wait until the day where God releases me. I can look at my Instagram again. God, I can't wait for you to deliver me to that moment. And some of us, if we're being really honest, there's some things that are holding our time. It's suffocating our walk with God, and it's paralyzed our faith. And we can't move forward because we're letting things hold on to us. But if there would be a people that say, if I want to go to the next level, I've got to cut some things off. You ought to fast social media for 1 month. Well, some of you snored on that point, but some of you ought to make up your mind, man, I'm going to just fast social media for a week. I'm going to consecrate some things. I'm going to lay it on the altar and say, God, I'm giving you this time. I'm giving you these prayers. I'm going to fast again. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to seek your face on a daily basis. I'm going to sacrifice my time. You could be seated here today, and we find the second component in this chapter. Find in verse number 10. Said, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. They had a Passover. The first Passover was deliverance from Egypt. But this Passover, it was different. It marked the arrival into the promised land. This Passover was them remembering the redemption of God. Where they took those lambs and they remembered, hey, there was a day that the blood of the lamb was marked over my doorpost and the angel passed over my house and that blood saved my life.
It was a moment where they remembered the redemption of God, where God provided for them, and he brought them out of Egypt, and he prospered them, and he made a way where there seemed to be no way. What this speaks to me is in our efforts to move forward, we have to be a church that remembers the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to remember that there was a time that there was sin in my life, and it plagued my every thought. It plagued my behaviors and my habits. It became who I was. And then there was a day where the blood of Jesus was applied on my life, and it gave me a clean slate. I'm no longer bound by sin and shame. I've been freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You ought to remember the redemptive work of the cross of Calvary, where you remember the only reason I'm really here is that there was a cross of Calvary, and the blood of Jesus is all over my life. When you look at Damien, you can see the blood of Jesus. When you hear me speak, you can hear the blood of Jesus. When you see me walk, you can see the finished work of the cross of Calvary. That's why we just can't make the cross of Calvary so casual. Now you can look at that cross and say, well, that's fine and dandy. I'm going to go do my own thing. We ought to take this seriously and say, if Jesus gave all for me, if Jesus gave all for me, if he spilt his very last drop of blood, if he was speared in the side, if he had nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head, if he was spit on and pulled on and he was made fun of, then the least I could do is give my life to him. The Bible says that you ought to present yourselves a living sacrifice unto him. You ought to present your life when you remember the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, the blood will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood gives me strength from day to day. You ought to consecrate. The second thing you ought to do is you ought to remember the cross. I'll never lose sight of the cross. I can never lose sight of the cross. There's an old song that says, if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. If I gain any acknowledgement, let it go to the foot of the cross. If anybody says, wow, Damien, that was a half-decent sermon on this Sunday morning, I'd have laid at the foot of the cross and say, the only reason why I could stand up here and even begin to preach the word is because Jesus had reached so far into my life and he has changed me from what I used to be. You can never forget the cross of Calvary. Never forget Calvary. The third thing in this chapter, the third and final thing before you go from a monument to a movement, is found in verses 13 through 15. And it says, and it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and saith unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now I just want you to imagine this. Joshua sees this man with a drawn-out sword. He comes to him and he said, are you for us
or for our adversaries? The angel of the Lord says, no. Joshua says, that's not right. You're supposed to say yes. You're for me. That doesn't seem right. I wasn't expecting that. He said, no, I'm the captain of the Lord's army. The thing that Joshua had a problem doing is he thought that his plan and his idea was the best plan and idea. And the thing about it is, so many times we have our own idea of how things should be, if we're being honest. We have our own plan. We have our own idea of how things should be. And then the angel shows up and says, no, you ought to align your plan with God's plan. Can I just tell you that there's a lot of people today that will say, Lord, if you just back my plan, if you just align your power with my will, we could get something done. That's not the will of the Lord. He's saying you ought to let go of your ideas and align your will with my will, because I'm about to take you somewhere. Can I just tell you, when I said we need to go to the next level, some of you had an idea of what that looked like. Some of you thought, well, yeah, you know, God could definitely move. I think next month sometime we can schedule it, and maybe he could move then. And maybe God can move our next month's prayer meeting. Maybe that could happen. But the thing about God is he's a God who wants to do it right now. There's no restrictions, no limitations on God. So why couldn't God just do something right now? What if somebody who was sick in their body right now was healed in Jesus' name? What if somebody who came in here so bogged down with anxiety would just stretch up your hands and said, Lord, that preacher, he's talking a lot of crazy things, but I just believe that you can do it right now. You can walk out of here saying, I've experienced the power of God. I've seen God move in a miraculous way. This was the third and final thing where Joshua said, man, I got to align my will with the will of God. And then we find where it's time for Jericho. Everybody said it's time for Jericho. And God gives them another plan. It wasn't according to Joshua's idea to do things. He said, this is what you have to do, Joshua. You got to tell those priests to bear up the ark, and there's going to be priests that are marching in front of them with trumpets. And here's the catch of the victory. You got to be quiet. Uh-oh. I got to be silent in order to get a victory. I've got to learn to hold my peace because the Lord's fighting my battle now. Now, a lot of us struggle with this because we've X'd out the fruit of the Spirit where it talks about self-control, and we've said that doesn't apply to my life, and we've said, well, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to voice my opinion when people tick me off. I'm going to tell them how it ought to be and how it's not. I'm going to let them know with everything, with the boldness of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to lay down the law for them. And God said, if you want to experience victory, you have to learn when to be quiet. You have to be muted. You have to learn how to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. If we're a church that really believes in the power of God, we've got to say, Lord, I'm done trying to voice my opinion. I'm done trying to say how it ought to be done. God, I'm giving you my mouth. God, you do what you want to do in me, but I really want to see a victory. I want to see a conquering that takes place in this city. I want to see us overcome. I want to see backsliders come. God, whatever you want to do, if you have to silence my opinion, I want to see it happen. He said you have to be muted. And the second component is you have to move. Now tap your neighbor and say, you need to move. Some of you didn't do it. Tap your other neighbor and say, you need to move. The two things you have to do to walk around Jericho is you need to be muted. And you need to move. You need to walk by faith and not just by the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Man, I wish we could really grasp this, because what I believe for this church individually and corporately is that we are a church that has camped out on what God has done. We've said, Lord, you've done your greatest work in the past, and we're just holding on till that trumpet sounds. Well, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're just holding on for that day. I'm just collecting this paycheck, and I'm just barely getting by, and we're just having church as normal. God, we're just holding on for that glorious day where you call us up and that trumpet sounds. The Bible says in Joel chapter 2 that there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that we've never seen before. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about a demonstration of the Holy Ghost that happened in an upper room. I believe God wants to do it again in this house, in this church, in this city. I believe God wants to pour out His Spirit like we've never seen before. And as they were walking around, they learned how to be quiet and how to walk by faith. And eventually, day number one goes around, they're walking. They don't even see a crack in the walls of Jericho. And they're like, Lord, aren't you going to be faithful to your word? Day number two goes by, they don't even see a soldier struck by lightning. They say, Lord, aren't you going to move at this point? Finally, at day number seven, God said, it's time for a release. Finally, he said, you can lift your voice. And as they lifted their voice, they experienced something they had never seen before. Those walls of Jericho came tumbling down. It was something they had never even imagined what God could do. This was a work. It was greater than those monumental stones at Jordan. It was so far superior from anything that we had encountered before. They watched as boulders fell down and their enemy was crushed by the power of God. This was a moment that had fulfilled everything else that God had done. What I'm here to tell the experienced church, that if we would just begin to walk by faith, if we would take the limitations off God, and on Sunday service, if we would just walk into church saying, God's going to move today. Man, God's going to move in this Sunday school class, Brother Wiggins. God's going to move in this sanctuary. In this right now, God's going to move. If we just be a people that have faith, that say, God, you're going to move today. I believe it. I receive it. I'm expecting it. I receive what you're going to do. The Bible says the walls of Jericho came down. What I've come to tell you is that we are on the precipice of experiencing something we've never seen before. I've come to challenge your mentality today. You've been camped out at what God has done, but there's greater things in store for you individually. You haven't had the greatest prayer meeting in your life. You haven't seen the greatest church service of this church. You haven't seen the greatest work of Jesus Christ. I've simply come to challenge somebody's mentality. Why don't we shift from a monument mentality to a movement? Well, Damien, you know, you're doing all that yelling and screaming. That sounds fine and dandy. But what does that mean? You have to move. What does that mean? Go, well, why don't you just try to lift your hands for a change? Or maybe why don't you just try to, hey, I'm going to go to the front of the altar for a change. I'm not going to camp out at my seat and watch everybody else and say, oh, they're getting a blessing. That's good for them. Why don't you just walk out of where you've been and try something new? Some of you, and I pray, I'm probably going to get fired, Brother Sean, after this statement, and that's all right. But some of you have just been spectators to watch people get their blessing, service after service, prayer meeting after prayer meeting, altar call after altar call. And you say, Lord, Just touch them again. God, make a way in their life again. But what I'm calling you today, you need to get out of where you've been and try something different. What does that look like? Why don't you lift your voice and say, God, have your way. What does that look like, Brother Damien? Why don't you pick up your feet and try something you've never tried? Why don't you dance in the Holy Ghost? Why don't you speak in other tongues as the Spirit moves? Well, Brother Damien, what does that look like? Why don't you posture yourself for a move of God? Some of you are still looking at me like I'm crazy, but why don't you try something that you've never tried? Come on, right now, you ought to lift your voice and say, God, I'm going to try something new. Right now, come on, somebody take the restrictions off God. Take the limits off God.